It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brad Rood, joined alongside my co-host, each and every week, Blake Friars. Happy New Year, and recording this on New Year's Day.
Did you do anything yesterday, New Year's Eve?
Nope, watch hockey.
I didn't really do much either. I had to be up at 4:30 to work. Work at 6 this morning, so I didn't do much last night either, so I just kind of hung out. But Terriers played today at 2, won 2 in a row against Melville coming out of the Christmas break, so that's good. Hopefully get winning some games, string some wins together, and get moving in the right direction.
I am ready for the holiday season to be over.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I love spending Christmas with my family and doing all that, but then having New Year's a week later, just, I don't know, like, we need to get back to normal living.
Yeah. I just started back at the gym today. I went back to the gym first time for 3 weeks since my foot. So I was pretty happy about that. And, it's going to be nice to get back into routine tomorrow, because the last two of the last 3 days I've had to work at 6 a.m. So it's kind of been tough on the old routine, but hopefully back to normal tomorrow.
World Juniors are in full swing, and I'm still struggling for excitement level. I don't know why. I mean,
well, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing.
They're too early in the morning.
If you're looking to... Like, did you see the geeky hit?
Yeah, he left his feet.
He did not leave his feet. He didn't even, he wasn't even skating. He wasn't even striding. He stopped skating.
You're going to throw the whole Canada thing. Like, Canada's the place.
No, I'm not even going to talk about that.
They do. And that
he's
was
6'4" and the guy's 5'11". Yeah, there's gonna be some head contact.
His arms went up into the air
because he's so like big.
He flew into him, and his arms went up like this.
Okay, dirty hit. Listen. Okay, so what about the hit on Beck? Drilled in the numbers from behind, no penalty.
Was that the one where he's going down the sideboards and he turned?
Doesn't matter.
You can't turn, Blake.
You still can't hit a guy in the numbers. What have we got? We got to put stop signs on there.
So wait a second. So when I go to check you and I'm already started my motion to check and you turn, then that's my fault.
Listen, I would turn
on every single check, right? Every player kicked out of the game every time. Every time somebody checked me, I'd turn.
Still dirty. Like, hit.
That's ludicrous. Here's the problem. Canada's not very good.
They're not. I told you they're probably not going to win a medal. I already told you this.
Just listen to me. Canada's not very good. And now, instead of focusing on why we're not very good, we're going to blame the officials.
I haven't watched enough World Juniors this year to do that, so I can't comment.
You were just doing.
Well, it's just those are the two hits that I saw, and one was a penalty and one was a 5.
So how about the German hit then? I don't know.
Okay, the exact same hit. Here's the thing. No, the I'm exact about same the hit.
Germany guy that gets stuck in the mouth.
And a U.S. player hit a Swede in the pre-tournament game. The exact same thing as Morgan Geeky or Connor Geeky, and there was no penalty, not even one. So why is that a 5 and one's not a penalty? That doesn't make sense.
So you are complaining about the refs then?
No, I'm just saying that doesn't make sense to me. How is one a 5 in a game and the other isn't a penalty? I'm just asking.
It goes back to what I just said 2 minutes ago. And you said, no, I'm not blaming the refs. But now everything you've said has been.
I asked you a question.
Like you, I could do that with every call in the NHL, right? You could do that every night with
calls. Well,
you could. You could do that. No, it's annoying.
I don't know.
Canada isn't very good.
It's annoying to you
because of that.
This is your tournament. Honestly, Matt, this is not my tournament.
No, this is Canada's tournament because nobody in the country cares about it like Canada.
Listen, I really, dude, like I was saying when were we talking about this? Before Christmas? I've so much interest in the World Juniors the last 3-4 years.
It's hard to have interest when Russia's not in it. It's hard to have interest when it's at 8 o'clock in the morning. Those are the reasons. If this was in Saskatoon and Russia was in it, you'd be all on board. And that's good. And we should be on board because it's good hockey.
Yeah.
But it's tough when Russia's not in it, and that problem's not going to fix itself anytime soon. And it's lost its luster, and it makes it damn hard when it's at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Marc-Andre Fleury gets his 1,000th game last night.
Yeah.
Did you see they had them go out like it was a rookie skate? I thought that was kind of, I don't know what I
thought. It was fun. Did you see he practiced with a cane after Foligno called him 50 years old? he's such a prankster, man. Like he's one of the guys, like,
you know, I like him. I just wish he had a better agent.
Can you go a day without talking about Alan Walsh, man? Are you sure he's not paying the podcast? Oh, my God.
He's just an arrogant ass. I hate arrogant asses. I don't know. Lots of sports to watch over the holidays. I saw a graphic and put out by the Nielsen Report, which is kind of what judges television viewing in the U.S. The average U.S. viewership per game, the NFL was far and away ahead of everybody else.
NHL was third. Yeah, it's ahead of baseball. We're ahead of
Major League Baseball. And that does not surprise me. Baseball's its own most enemy.
It did to me because of the changes that baseball made to speed up their game by half an hour.
Blake, I don't there's know. A couple problems. Most people have lives. They don't have time to watch 162.
No, I know, but I don't know.
It'll never play baseball.
You can still throw the baseball game on, though, and leave and come back, and you still get those hours.
Who turns their TV on and then leaves?
Well, I mean, like, with baseball, that's a sport. You could do it.
Leave your house? Well, no shit, because it's boring.
No, not leave your house. Like, just do what things in the background with it on.
I completely agree, but it's that boring. That tells you something about it right there.
It's not boring. Right? It's not boring.
How many times, though, in the middle of a Canucks game are you like, you know, I think I'm going to go fold laundry downstairs and then I'll come back up and watch? No, you don't do that because it's exciting.
No.
Baseball, you could do that and you wouldn't miss shit.
Unless they're up like 6-1, then I'll whatever. But, yeah.
What you said right there explains why baseball needs to figure this out just a little bit more.
They're on the right track. They're taking strides, you know.
They're taking strides. I'm just afraid I won't get there till 2040.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I still love baseball. I do. I love baseball. But, I'd fix it. I'd make it better. On this episode, we're going to talk about wanted NHL caliber goalies. What's going on in this league? Why is so many goalies self-destructed? We're going to talk about that. Then we'll go around the league, talk a little Winter Classic, the weirdest empty netter I've ever seen. Ottawa again, Russian issues, bear signs, and I want to find out what Pedersen's going to get paid. Lots of talk from the
show.
Don't
be getting my blood. Don't be getting my blood going with a baseless rumor, man. Stop.
Let's talk goalies. And I do not remember a time when there's been so much turmoil on teams, good hockey teams, struggling to get good goaltending. When you look at the list, Edmonton, Toronto, Carolina, New Jersey,
Ottawa.
And that's not a good team, though.
Oh,
good these team. Are oh. good teams that are like,
yeah,
like playoff, like serious, serious playoff contenders.
New Jersey, and even.
That's what I said. Their goaltending is in disarray. So let's talk about each of the teams and kind of go through, you know, where we see it playing out right now in Edmonton. The Oilers are rocking and rolling. They've been really, really good lately, but their goaltending still. It's not. I'd still say it's a huge, huge, huge problem area. Kelvin Pickard's given him a couple good starts. Skinner's given him a couple good starts. Campbell is still a backup in the AHL, and I don't see this team winning a cup with Skinner or Pickard.
Well, am I wrong? That's their only options, because like I said, unless you trade a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, there's no wiggle space or roster flexibility within that roster to do anything. You don't got cap space. All the guys that you could move have no move clauses, and you kind of handcuffed yourself here. I mean,
I agree.
You signed Campbell to that big deal. You signed Skinner to a 2-year bridge deal. Maybe you call up Olivier Rodrigue, that kid, and give him a start and see what you got there. I don't know. Like I think you're kind of handcuffed here, and you're going to have to just ride it out with Skinner.
I think you're probably right. I mean, I loved your Nugent Hopkins thought from about a month ago, but
yeah,
I think he has a no move clause. Does he not?
I have to look, but
I would have to look too.
But like at the cheap deal, like 4 years.
But I mean, he's not going to ever say, "Yeah, trade me," no, right? No. So you're right. They're completely handcuffed. Is Skinner like capable of getting them through it? I mean, maybe. But you know what? When the playoffs get going, it's hard to outscore your opponent, right? He has an old move, right?
Yeah. Listen. Okay. The Oilers right now, as we speak today,
they're winners of 5
playoff spot. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot.
No, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
What?
40 is the wild card.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at Seattle. Yeah, 3 points out. Sorry, 3 points out. 3 points out of a playoff spot. Like, could Skinner take them to the playoffs? Sure. But, man, like,
I think they're.
Can I trust Skinner to win me 16 games in the postseason? Probably not.
This is the game. I do believe Edmonton gets in. I mean, they're winners of their last five. They're really good lately, but they've had to outscore their opponents. And that's tougher to do in the postseason. Right,
man, it's so hard to you got to win 2-1 games in the playoffs. You can't. You know how hard it is to win playing postseason hockey, winning 6-4 every night. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's too much.
Like eventually, your goalie's got to steal you some games.
Yeah,
winning 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever, it's just not happening. But the Oilers are scoring at will right now, and. I mean, all the power to him. That's what everybody expected him to do. We both picked him to go to the Stanley Cup, and I picked him to win. So we both had high expectations for this team. They've won 16 of 21, and they've barely gained any ground, which is the craziest part. Like it just goes to show you, man, that if you get off to a bad start, it's like a death sentence. It really is. It honestly
really, really hard.
I read a stat that said the Oilers have won 16 of their last 21 games, and they've only gained three points on the Canucks. That's insane. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, but you also got to look that in the last 10, Vancouver's got points in 9.
Right, so, but I'm just saying, like, to win 16 of 21, you only gain 3 points, I'd be like, damn, that's kind of tough.
Quite honestly, really, the only teams they're trying to catch right now are Arizona, Nashville, LA, and Vegas.
Yeah, because...
maybe in Vegas. I mean, they're probably just trying to catch. They're trying to just right now. I'm sure the focus is a wild card.
Not catching Vegas or Vancouver. They're 12 points behind. I don't see that.
There's a lot of hockey left, though. I mean, I don't see it either. I highly doubt it. But I mean, there is still a long runway still ahead. So
they got a couple of games in hand. They got 4 in hand on Vegas, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. That's a lot of points.
I can see him getting into a divisional spot. Not a top divisional spot, but I can see him getting into a divisional spot. But they are going to have to get good goaltending from Skinner or Pickard or someone. One of those two is going to have to get hot.
Well, Skinner went on and won 8 straight starts. So that was kind of the start of that. And then he kind of dipped a little bit. Pickard won a couple games. Now Skinner's kind of on a roll a little bit again. But yeah, they got to get that figured out big time.
On to Toronto, where it even gets worse. Joseph Woll goes down with an injury. Samsonov this week gets placed on waivers. The coach says Stakes get magnified when you don't get saves. He's right.
Yeah, I said okay. He says that, but goes and scratches David Kampf, who started 326 games. Yeah, that accountability is going to really show the Toronto Maple Leafs scratching a fourth line center. Why not send a message and put a guy like Mitch Marner up in the press box for some accountability? That guy's made a lot of mistakes. A lot of mistakes. Or sit him a couple shifts. There's no accountability there. Zero. Same but in Edmonton.
Don't you think that's been the problem in Toronto for years? Is the fact that they don't dive into the root of the problems.
No. They kick the can down the road, is what they do.
They just fluff it over and hope it goes away. They just fluff it over. And I don't know, you know, you got like Martin Jones.
It's like, we don't play very good defense for every goalie, but we're going to put Samsonov on waivers and maybe he'll get his game back in the AHL. It's like,
And now they've called up Dennis Hildeby today. Well, that's a tall task to ask of a fourth round draft pick to just step right in. And yeah.
How is he doing in the Marlies? Do you know?
Good. Yeah, he's in 15 appearances, 2.2 goals against average, 0.919 save percentage. So he's been good, and he's huge. He's like 6'7".
919?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts. It never hurts to see what you got in the minor leagues. It never, ever hurts.
Well, you know, I hate, like I just said with Edmonton, and I don't know if it's fair to throw him into this situation, especially in that market. But right now, I don't know that you have any
other option. You don't have any other option. Martin Jones kind of has given you some good goaltending, so you gotta take and run with that as long as you can, as long as that lasts, right? I mean, he's not old Martin Jones where he was taking San Jose to the Cup Final. He's not that guy, but he's still a capable NHL goaltender that is capable of not stealing some games, but taking the fair share load of starts.
I thought we both said, we've talked about him multiple times, how last year he surprised both of us.
Yeah.
It was very good in Seattle.
Yep.
This one's where it really gets interesting. The Carolina Hurricanes. Oof. Frederick Anderson still out. They're not getting the goaltending they need. Ante Ranta was on waivers cleared. He's back on the roster. And they have this rookie Kochekov. And right now, Carolina is in a playoff spot, not safely in a playoff spot, but in a playoff spot. But this team, I don't know. They're 6-1-3, and like I picked these guys to win the cup. Like I thought they have all the dynamics, but this goaltending, I don't think this goaltending is going to hold up in the postseason. Just like both me and you felt that about Edmonton. This is a team though that I feel like has a little bit. I don't know. I don't know. They've got to figure something out too. And I'm concerned on this one.
The biggest thing that they got to do is just hope and pray that Freddie Anderson gets back as soon as possible. That's their only option. That is their only option here. I think he just started resume skating. I read that he just started resuming skating. So that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, blood clots are so tricky. Like there's just really no timeline for that. So, I hope that he comes back soon because they need him and he's fun to watch. And Carolina's a good team when he's on his game. And, it's unfortunate for sure.
They have 3.2 in current cap space. Deadline cap space projected is 8.3. So there is room there. I don't know if it moves out there.
Like Gibson, maybe?
Well, let's talk about one more team, and then let's talk about some of the guys that could go out there. New Jersey's another one. The team currently sits outside of a playoff spot by just one point only, but they're running with Vanecek, who struggled, and Nico Daz. And that's another one where you point and you go, okay, I like this New Jersey team. I think this New Jersey team is capable. But they're sputtering. They're 5-4-1 in their last 10. They're not getting the goaltending they need. Quite honestly, they're not getting the scoring they need really either. But a team that we all thought was going to be a good team this year, but goaltending seems to be, you know, a struggle point for this team too.
Well, I mean, and you got a guy like Akir Schmid who had some headlines and games in the playoffs last year, and he hasn't been very good either. So Yeah, it hasn't gone according to plan. Vanacek has been, he's been pretty consistent the last couple of years, even dating back to his last year with the Capitals and then last year with New Jersey. So that's unfortunate too. I mean, you go, man, you just never know with goaltenders, man. It just pays so good to have such a good goaltender, man. Like,
do you remember though a year where like guys have like self-destructed, like Campbell and Samsonov, and like, do you remember a year?
I can't remember this many goalies like that just have had a track record of being good, and they're just all bad. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I haven't either. And
like Samsonov had almost a 917 save percentage this year, and this year he's got the worst NHL save percentage in NHL history. It's like 845. He can't sell a puck.
Yeah, I feel bad.
And if you're Keefe, you can't put that guy in the net.
Well, no, but then if you do, you got to build him up too. Like, you can't tear him down and tear him down again. Like,
well, okay, but eventually here, you're getting paid to stop the puck. You can't hold the guy's hand.
No, you just don't play him then, right?
Well, then he's wasting cap space. And you got to send him down and get some cap space.
Well, that's what they've done, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can only go to the well so many times before you just got to say, hey, man, like, listen, we're sending you down.
Yeah.
Right?
So what's the solution? Who has goalies? Like, Montreal, they have Jake Allen.
I talked about last week or 2 weeks ago, like, that maybe somebody takes a chance on like a Mackenzie Blackwood, who's on a really poor team right now, and he's playing well. He's playing well for the hand he got dealt. Calgary's an obvious option. Dan Vladar or Markstrom, like that's some intriguing options.
I've heard a ton of talk of Markstrom to New Jersey. Do you even think that Markstrom would do that?
I think so. But why wouldn't he?
Because he signed in Calgary and he likes it in Calgary?
Yeah, but he's been there, what, three? This is his fourth year?
Third?
No, he signed in 20. He signed in the shortened season. Yeah, this is his fourth year. This is his four or six. I don't know. Maybe he looks at it and says, like, maybe I can go here and have an opportunity to do something special in New Jersey. I don't know. They'd have to get creative and probably retain some money a little bit. And I'm not sure, but
no, everybody keeps pointing at like at him and at Gibson. And for some reason, I just don't see Gibson going.
I believe he's got no move clause.
I believe his wife just had a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I just, to me, I just feel like if he was going to have been traded, he would have been traded last year or the year before, right?
Yeah, I would agree. Nedeljkovic from Pittsburgh is another one. They got three goalies there, so maybe that's something. Jake Allen, like you mentioned, that will probably be the most biggest name that will probably get moved. Maybe Anton Forsberg, maybe? I'm not sure.
Talk on the streets. Is that teams, our general managers want a king's ransom for goalies right now.
Oh, and why wouldn't you? That's so high in demand for teams right now.
I'm with you.
You're telling me a team like Montreal would be like, yeah, I'll help out the Edmonton Oilers and trade them Jake Allen? Not a chance.
Well, I mean, they'll trade them, but they're going to want money. They're going to want something. The return's going to be good right now.
Yeah.
I think as we get to deadline, the ask will come down.
Yeah. They always start high and you just work your way lower.
Yep. It is the way it is. And I look at this season and I'm in shock by the amount of it surprises me though, how the struggles that there has been this year for goalies, just literally falling off. I mean, just falling off and just, they literally can't stop the puck, and it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I am running out of words to answer these questions. Like, it's something I haven't seen in a while.
get on over to our sponsor, Stick Bandits, and get everything you're going to need to supply, outfit your team, helmet numbers, stick names, skate numbers, water bottles. They got it all at Stick Bandits. You can check them out at stickbandits.com. All right, like time to go around the league. Lots to talk about. Winter Classic today. I did not really. I watched parts of it.
Yeah,
I was at a family event, and I just watched parts of it. And you know what? Quite honestly, everything I saw was awful. Like to me,
it looked like a cool setup there, though.
Why put white plastic down? We know it's not snow, right? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, I like I said, I didn't really see much. The Terriers played at 2 o'clock this afternoon, so I didn't see much at all. But I mean, it is pretty cool that I got a 35 shutout, first shutout in Winter Classic history. That's pretty cool. Shutout a team like Vegas too. That's awesome. Good for him.
It was a boring game.
Joey DeCourt, 35 save shutout. It's good.
He's been good. He's been good lately.
He's got a 5 in his last. I think it's his last 13 starts. He's got a 9.54 save. He's been really good for them. Well, ever since Grubauer got hurt, they needed somebody to step in the shoes, and he's been good.
So last night, I didn't see this live, but I got home.
We're talking about two things that happened last night. We're talking about the Calgary incident too. After that. Because that was bullshit.
The Calgary incident.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. We're talking about the Montreal right now.
Yeah, well, tell me the Calgary one. I don't even know what you're talking about.
How a buddy gets hit square between the eyes, his strap comes off, and he takes his helmet off because the ref wouldn't blow the whistle, and they gave him a delayed game. That's bullshit.
He yanked his helmet off with his
glove. The strap's off. The ref's job is to blow the whistle down when the goaltender's helmet is loose. That is absolute complete bullshit. It's bullshit.
Have you read the rule book?
Dude, the helmet is off. If that goalie's helmet comes off and that guy takes a slap shot and he gets hit in the head, what then? What?
Have you read the rule book?
Listen, man, the ref didn't do his job. The ref is supposed to protect the players. That is his job, and he didn't do that.
Within the rule book, Blake, you have to read the rule book.
Okay, I'll go read it again, but that's bullshit.
You need to read the rule book. He took his mask. Okay, then so next time, guess what? Someone gets a breakaway, guy's just going to throw his mask off.
No, dude, the strap is off. Well, obviously, he's not going to throw it off if it's not off.
Have you read the rule book?
I'll go read it again.
You need to go read the
rule. Your helmet is loose, and you should probably be blowing the whistle.
No, there's nothing in the rule book that says anything about a loose helmet.
Okay. Nothing. All right. Absolutely. Well, whenever a goalie gets hit and the strap is off, the whistle usually goes 9 times out of 10, but I guess not that one.
No.
Okay.
It didn't change the game at all anyways.
It didn't change the game. They scored on the power play to make it 3-1. What are you talking about? What are you saying?
I'm saying that the official called the rule book.
All right.
If you think the rules should be changed, that's a different argument. But
I think you should be protecting players. That's just me, though.
When was he in danger?
Dude, you having a loose helmet.
The puck was going out of the zone. When was he in danger?
Okay, well, he got hit.
No one was shooting
between the eyes, and he's going like this. Hey, my helmet's loose, and the ref's looking right at him and didn't do anything.
Oh, wait a minute. He never once raised his arm to say his helmet was loose. Okay. Watch the replay.
Okay.
He never did. He just, all right. The second it came loose, he yanked his helmet or pulled it off with his hand.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now watch this. This is an empty netter, and it is the weirdest empty netter that I have ever seen.
Yep.
We got video of this one.
So we are pause it.
So okay, well we rewind. What is the question that you have?
Okay, so there is a rule in the rule book. Since we want to get all technical here on me.
What is the rule?
Rule? You remember the rule of the intent to blow the whistle? You remember that?
Where was there an intent to blow a whistle?
His hand is right up to his mouth. Like he's ready to blow the whistle.
There is that doesn't mean that doesn't constitute intent. You can't tell me what play. His brain is thinking.
Hit play. What? Hit play.
Goalie saves the shot.
Okay.
Hey, no whistle's going.
Look, it's right up to his mouth right there. And then he's like, oh, no, we're going to let him play. No,
he didn't blow the whistle for a reason. Because the goalie dropped the puck right to the player, right next to him. And then Tampa Bay was giving no pressure to him.
I don't know, man. It's one of the weirdest goals I've ever seen.
It is one of the weirdest goals I've ever seen, too. I agree. But there's nothing wrong. I mean, I don't know where the issue is, though. I mean, there's definitely an argument if you're Tampa Bay, but I don't know. I mean, yeah. He never blew the whistle, and why would you stop that? It's all on Tampa Bay. You don't stop playing. You're taught in like,
yeah,
yes. You play played all the whistle.
Yeah.
And there was no whistle. So I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know. It's a crazy one. It is definitely a crazy one. One we probably will never, ever, ever see again.
Yeah, probably not.
Ottawa. This team. All right. Now they officially announce that Stajos is the GM. And I'm just like, I don't know. What's going to happen with this team? I expected them to be so much better. I didn't expect all this turmoil in the main office. I don't know. Well, is this a new ownership thing? What is the explanation on this?
They're trying to provide some stability in the management, which is a good step one into turning it around. You can't go forward with no GM and no president of hockey ops, and it's like,
shouldn't this happen 2 weeks ago?
Dude, look at example. Look at Vancouver last year. Like, look at the disaster that there was when they had a coach that was nobody wanted, and yada yada yada, and there was just no structure there was no synergy anywhere on that team last year, and now. You know, you give the team some stability and say, like, this is Stajos' team, and they brought in Poulin, and, you know, you bring in Alfredson on the bench, you bring in a very respected guy in Jacques Martin. I don't know.
I completely agree, but how come when DJ Smith got fired, Stajos wasn't named right then? Why wait 2 weeks week and a half or whatever? I didn't understand the timing. I understand why. And I think it's great. I mean, I think it's going to be good for the organization. I just didn't understand, like, the hell, they knew this was going to happen. It wasn't like they were just like, hey, you know what? I got a good idea. You know, like, the timing was just a little bit jacked.
Right.
Speaking of things that are jacked, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I wonder how it'll affect the entry draft. We talked earlier about how we hate that Russia's not in the World Juniors or in the best on best. And both me and you, I think, agree that we feel that that's a pretty important cog to create the rivalries, right? And now Russian the president or leader Vladimir Putin is saying that he's not letting young players come over anymore. And I'm interested to see, number one, if that stays the course, and number two, how much that's going to deter teams from drafting Russian players.
Well, it's probably going to deter a lot. I mean, unless you're going to start see guys fleeing over here and playing in the CHL and going the import draft. I mean,
that'd be scary for them to flee over here now.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what's your other option? There's no other option. You want to come play in North America and they're not going to let you go? You got no choice.
I agree. It's too bad. It's really too bad.
I don't know.
Ethan Bear signs 2 years with the Washington Capitals, 4.125. I thought that was a little high. Did you think that was high?
I didn't think he was going to get a multi-year deal.
I didn't
either. He's coming off a pretty serious shoulder injury.
I thought that was a little bit.
I mean,
he's a good defenseman, but he's a 5'6", right? Would you agree or disagree?
I think he's a 4 or 5 guy. I think he can play some top 4 minutes. He He played pretty well in Vancouver with Quinn Hughes last year. He's a capable NHL defenseman. 2.125. It's not crazy steep, but I thought it would have been a 1 year deal for the rest of this year, kind of like a test drive type thing, and see what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're locked in. Right?
I thought it was interesting what he said, though. He said that he went to the Washington Capitals because they have great leadership, and he says, I honestly felt like they cared a lot and they wanted me here instead of needing me.
Sounds like us. That sounded like a little shot at the old Vancouver Canucks.
Well, I think maybe, but it also probably was a shot at, like, hey, I'm tired of being a stopgap for teams.
Wanting and needing could be they need me at 2.15, but the Canucks want me at 900,000. So, like, that could be something you look at too. Like, hey, yeah, the Canucks want me. Hey, they need me, but we can only give you 900 grand. So take it or leave it. So I don't know.
Valid point. Everything has been roses in Vancouver this year and continues to be, as we talked about on last show. I mean, they are rolling and it doesn't look like it's stopping.
37 minutes here, and Brad Beroud is attempting to get my blood pressure through the roof.
No, I'm actually not, because I think it's crazy right now to be talking about this myself. But this week there was some rumors floating around, and yes, I'm calling them rumors because I don't believe there's any validity to them, that Pedersen's asking for the world. He wants $90 million, an average 11.25, which I don't know. He might be. I
mean, give him the damn thing. Vancouver is going to give that guy a blank check, is what they're going to do. Think
they probably would pay that, wouldn't
they're
you?
Gonna, think? Dude, I saw they're getting better. If Pedersen asks for $13 million, they're going to give him $13 million. They're not dumb. Listen, I love the fact that the rumor goes, yeah, Pedersen, look, he might find his way to Chicago and play at the Dart. And then he goes, William Nylander, too, somebody you got to keep an eye on. Buddy, like, really? It's just such a baseless rumor. Like, first of all.
Well, number one, a team can afford those three players. Number two, I guess what I'm asking more on this one is, we know what the cap is, and we know how you have to use the cap smartly. And if you're going to pay, let's say it is 11.25, right? Do you think, how does that hinder the Canucks moving forward to keeping this core?
Well, I told you this last week. The team's going to be hard to keep together. I told you this already. You got to pay Hronek next year. You got to pay Hughes next year. Pedersen. And yeah, though that's Hronek's looking at a $6 to $7.5 million contract. You're looking at Pedersen making 8 years, anywhere from $10 million to $13 million. Like, that's just the reality. Those players are probably going to cost you $20 million. $17 to $20 million.
Do you think there's any chance he leaves?
I don't want to say never, because I honestly didn't think Matthew Tkachuk was going to leave.
Oh, I agree. I think you'd be stupid to say never, but I think the percentage would be pretty low.
I think he likes it in Vancouver. They're finally winning in Vancouver for the first time in his career. I think he'd be pretty silly to leave.
If they were a muddling team out of the playoffs.
Yeah, if they were where Chicago was right now, I'd be like, yeah, I could definitely see this. He's put up with this shit for 7 years. Yeah, he could leave. But now, you're second in the NHL, finally figuring it out. I don't know.
I agree.
When I saw it, I'm like, this is such clickbait bullshit, man.
This is just media.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on and head on over to three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week, Blake fired three questions at me. It is my turn this week. Let's see how this one goes. Question number one, will Jonathan Huberdeau ever get over this devastating funk that he is in?
He flipped to some black tape and a white stick. He's trying everything, man. Poor guy. I don't know. Like he works so hard, man. He works his ass off. He made a nice pass to Gilbert yesterday. Made a nice pass. His first point in a calendar month.
Oh, God. I just pulled it up here. It is.
Did you see McKinnon had 27 points before Huberto had one? I hope he does, man, because, like,
I need to say this, but
I can't get 115 points and then turn into this player. Like, it's just, like, I get playing with Barkov. That was a big part of his success, but it's like,
I wouldn't play with Barkov that much, only in the power play. He wasn't even on the line.
Yeah, they got put together a lot though. And
he was with
playing that river style hockey, like run and gun style, right? And I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just fascinating to see what this guy's turned to do. And this is the first year of an 8-year contract. It's like, oh.
I honestly believe that the whole hockey world is actually cheering for him because, like, he is working hard. It's something I've never seen before. And if I had an answer,
is this the worst contract in the league right now? It's got to be.
No, I mean, you can't say that.
For his production?
If it continues through the end of the season, yes, I will say that. I just have a hard time believing that this lasts forever. Do I think he's a 100-point player again? No, I don't. I don't. But, I mean,
would it surprise me if he did, though? It would not.
Doesn't everybody in Calgary keeps wishing for that? But like right now, I mean, 70 looks amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel bad for him because like it would be different if he was being lazy, doing stupid things, had a piss poor attitude. But he has none of those. Yeah. Like, he's working his ass off. He's trying everything to make plays. Like, I've never seen it happen.
He needs to be a little more selfish. I think he needs to shoot the puck more.
Yeah,
but like there's been times where he's in a shooting option and he's like overthinking the shit out of it, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna pass it here," and it's like, "Okay, dude, you shoot the puck."
Well, like, let me just ask you a question: when you were a 115 point player 2 years ago, and you have 0 points in December, how do you not overthink?
Yeah, you're gripping the stick a lot for sure. You're gripping it. You're white knuckling your stick 100%. But just simplify your game a little bit. Throw pucks on net and like. I don't know. Do whatever you can.
Question number two. We all get excited for the World Juniors. Would you watch if they had a World Seniors of retired hockey players? It would be your chance to watch Luongo.
Probably would not.
Wouldn't it be fun though?
I feel like it'd be super slow.
I don't know, but
like how old are we talking here? Like guys that just retired in the last 10 years or guys that retired 30 years ago?
Let me answer this. I put 30 seconds into this thought of this question because I thought it was intriguing. Like I didn't work out the freaking details, Blake, and like call
it players. I would watch it. I don't know how exciting it would be.
I just think it'd be fun to rekindle some of those old World Junior rivalries. I just think that would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Watching Jonathan Toews do a penalty shot again. Wouldn't that be fun?
Four times in a row, baby.
Question number three. The Professional Women's Hockey League started play today.
Yeah.
They started with two significant format/rule changes. What are your thoughts on the following? They announced that they're going to be using a 3-2-1-0 point system.
Good. All the power to them. See if it works. And maybe the NHL could do something like that.
The second is when a shorthanded goal is scored, the penalized player gets to leave the box.
That's awesome. Really?
Yep.
That's awesome. Creativity. Wow. That's wicked.
I don't think it sounds horrible, but I don't
know. The shorthanded team gets rewarded for scoring a shorthanded goal. That's awesome. That's good. I don't know. For them.
I don't know. Isn't the goal a reward enough?
Yeah, but like you're already a man short. You score a goal.
What I would rather see would be that if you get a 2-minute penalty, right? and you score. Your team scores.
Stay on the power play?
Stay on the power play. I mean, I think that would create more offense than this.
Yeah.
I mean, it would create more offense than this, right? And create more scoring.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be fair for the power play merchants in Edmonton. Wouldn't be fair.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to change it for one. Okay. Question. The third part of this, and this one is not really, it is a rule change for girls hockey, but or women's hockey, but they're allowing checking. Did that surprise you?
They are. Really? I didn't know that.
They're allowing body checking. And I that caught me off guard. I really did not even entertain thoughts that when this league came, that was something they would allow.
That's good. I mean, you signed up to play professional hockey. You know the rules and you know what comes with it. Good for them. That's good.
I think it's good. I think honestly, I thought a lot of times in women's hockey when they didn't have checking that there was more liberties taken because people weren't expecting it, and there was probably more injuries because people didn't expect it. Right. Listener question. Okay, we got to go through this quick because we're running a little long today. What should your favorite team's New Year's resolution be this year? You get Vancouver, I get Calgary because they're our favorite teams. What's their team? What's your team's New Year's resolution?
To stay healthy. That's my resolution.
You know what I would, I think you're in Vancouver, like
my New Year's resolution is to get Kuzmenko scoring goals.
Okay. Or get him out of the
dog. And for Demko to stay healthy.
How about your penalty kill?
You know, their penalty kill is showing life. Like, it's showing signs. And
I know. There's not a lot wrong in Vancouver. Don't get me wrong. I just think that would be like, if you could get your penalty kill good.
I know. Well, actually, no. They need to get their power play going. Their power play has been a joke.
Top 10 power play, isn't it? Not now?
Yeah, because of the goals they scored against Edmonton and San Jose. Like, yeah, it's not been good. If you look at the underlying numbers, it's clicking at like 13% the last like 3 weeks. It hasn't been good.
Okay.
So they need to figure that out. You?
Calgary's my favorite team. I think the biggest thing is, when you commit to this retool. And no matter what now, we need to get assets for our pending UFAs.
Hanifin, Lindholm, and potentially Markstrom. Those four players, you have to trade at least the first three, I said.
The Markstrom thing is not happening during the season. That's too much money.
Lindholm, Hanifin, Tanev have to be traded. And you have to maximize as much value as you can.
And I know people think it's going to be first round picks, and I don't.
You're not getting a first for Tanev. You'll probably get a first for Lindholm, and you're not getting a first for Hanifin.
I think we have a better shot of getting a first for Hanifin than we do Lindholm, because Hanifin's been really good this year.
Well, yeah, they're both raking around the same money, right?
Yeah,
four I mean, 4.8.
But are you? I mean, okay. So let me answer this question. Like, let's say you're a GM, right? And you look at Lindholm, and you're like, yeah, what is he at 4.8 or something like that? And that's great, right? But then he's a pending UFA, and his numbers that he's talking about are ludicrous. Like, you're not going down that road. So it's like it's going to be a pissing.
Okay,
match
but then. But if you're Colorado and you give up a first round pick to get a second line center and go on a Stanley Cup run, and maybe you win the Stanley Cup with a guy like Lindholm. And at the end of the year, yeah, we just want to sell it up. We're not going to bring him back anyway.
Oh, no, I know. But you know what? Not one team gave up a first-round pick last year.
That is crazy.
And, you know, teams are holding on to first-round picks stronger than ever. And I'm not sure exactly why. Because the draft pick is still just a crapshoot, right? And these teams that are doing this are all going to be – they're not going to be, like, top 10 picks here. So, like, I'm a little surprised by that. But I think, actually, Hanifin has a better chance of getting a number one or first-rounder than Lindholm does. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think
you're looking at, like, a third, second, and a B-level prospect, maybe, like – I don't know.
I think you're gonna get a. I think you're gonna get a second for Tanev and a B level prospect because, I think he's gonna be. He's exactly what teams want for a playoff run, right? I mean, God, I mean, could he's like, if you drop the script, the defenseman that you want for a long playoff run, he's your guy, right? I mean,
yeah. Oh, you make so he blocked the shots he blocked. It's like, oh, he's going to get one in the foot and break his foot. It's like, oh, every makes night, you squirm.
Yeah. Every night I watch games, I worry more about that than I do your squirm. So,
yeah.
Right now, I think that's Uno, Nuno, Wano, whatever you say. That is number one for me.
Yep.
All right. That's a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And let's head into another week of hockey. We are back on track. Holidays are over. We are into the grind of the dog days of the NHL season. I love it. Back to the routine and back to another week of watching hockey. We're back next week for the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.